It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. And we're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20. We're going to finish the chapter out and get into chapter 21. And so Matthew chapter 20, and so open your Bibles up. We'll begin reading there with the 29th verse today and just finish that out and go on to 21. So as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And that's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us by phone, 217-847-2717. If you would like to check out our website, and I'd love for you to do that. We've got many studies there, our Constitution there, Plan of Salvation, is written out very clearly, and also you can listen to it if you'd like to do that. Please do, and it would be Parkview, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should have hold their peace. But they cried more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And so Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And when they had drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, "Go unto the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. If any man ought unto you, ye shall say, 'The Lord hath need of them,' and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass.'" And the multitude went and did as Jesus commanded them. And we'll end the reading there with that sixth verse of Matthew chapter 21. And we'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious time. It is so important, Father, that everyone that is listening has come to know you as their personal Savior. I don't, Father, want anyone that's listening here to miss that wonderful opportunity. It's so important that we realize that it's not church membership, it's not baptism, it's not how hard you work. It is the moment that you invite Jesus to come into your heart. And Father, we know that comes because the Holy Spirit convicts the heart. And by doing that, it shows each one of us individually that we are lost, we are a sinner, and we are condemned. The Spirit shows us that, and it's the only one that can show us that. The old flesh doesn't mind the lifestyle that we have, doesn't mind what we do, but Father, the Holy Spirit exposes us to who we are. And then when we say, "Oh, I see that I am a lost, helpless sinner," then the Holy Spirit introduces the Son of God to us, the Lord Jesus. That's when you say yes to Jesus. I hope, I pray that you have taken care of that. please, don't depend on anything else. And then that's when the service comes and the work comes and the joy comes and the peace comes and all these things, and you'll want to be baptized. All that, all those come after you have come by faith to Jesus. So, Father, please trust. We just trust that each listener today will come. Speak to our hearts now through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have gotten down to the end of this chapter, or close to the end, and we find here that just kind of in review, there's a multitude around, and when these blind men, and we read from the other Gospels so that you got, we enjoyed that, and so I'm glad that you were with us last time. If not, why, you can sure go to the website and get the studies, because they are all present there for you. And it's so important that you come and we study the scripture. And we looked at Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 18, and enjoyed this as we studied this scripture, and I hope that you were a part of it last time. But again, if you weren't, why, each one of these studies, you can be found on the website. They're all present there, so just look them up and enjoy them if you didn't. But I believe the reason that the multitude rebuked these two, because they just kept screaming all the louder, and they couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. The multitude was listening to what Jesus was saying. Now, the saddest thing is that they listened to what Jesus was saying, but they lacked that personal relationship. Very few that were following Jesus in this multitude that we have here. And the multitude rebuked them, so we know it was a great number. As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. So we have the numbers, but we know that these same folks, in a very short period of time, turn from, as we find, to say, Hosanna, King of the Highest, King of Kings, Hosanna, they cried out when he come into Jerusalem. And yet, in just a few hours later, that same crowd was crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Those people are not saved. And again, I plead with you that you know Jesus. They were listening to Jesus, but they did not respond to Jesus. Multitude rebuked him. But Jesus, when he heard those words, O Lord, thou Son of David, that was repeated twice, up in verse 30 and in 31. Jesus stood still, in verse 32, and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Jesus stopped. Jesus waited for the response. He stood still. He always has time for a soul that's in need. Now he listened. They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. They didn't put off the answer to that question. They came quickly. Now, we're going to go back to a scripture verse. And that scripture verse is found and we need to see that we respond correctly to the Lord Jesus. We don't put something off. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, this is Jesus speaking. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory? O fools, Jesus said this, slow of heart to believe. I hope that's not you. I hope that you have not listened to these radio broadcasts for now many years, and you still are holding on to maybe an old church doctrine that you have had learned, that you were told by the priest or told by the preacher that you don't need to do this personal relationship thing. The scripture tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that call must come when your heart is convicted. And I praise the Lord that in our church service, we enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. It convicts your heart. I am so thankful that when we do these radio broadcasts, that the Holy Spirit is present. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he shows you who you are and what you need, and he'll introduce you to Jesus. But please do not be slow to do that. That is a very dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous. Back now to Matthew chapter 20. Jesus' response, Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Can you imagine, and maybe this is something that you have experienced or a family member has, that you deal with blindness. Maybe you can't see. Maybe you can't hear. Maybe you can't speak. But I hope that somehow, and especially if you can't hear, that God will open your ears up so that you can hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I pray that you can hear that. And if you can't hear it, that you would be led to read it. All of a sudden, you're sitting in front of the Bible and you're reading these scripture verses. And if you can't see, you can hear, pray, hopefully. That darkness, that blindness, these men had missed so much in their lifetime. And it's different today in many cases, because here the blind meant great poverty. The only thing they could do is to beg. And someone would have to bring them into the area where the people were. And then they would beg all day, and then someone would come and help them home. But lived a very, very, very poor life, a life of poverty. This tender touch. Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight. That's, you know, whether God heals you, and he can. It has to be God doing it. No man can do that. No person is given any special talent to heal someone. God can. You can pray for healing. You can have folks pray for you for healing. But the greatest healing is the healing of your soul, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and you're saved, you're born again. That's the most important. A tender touch of the Master. Only a touch from the Master can give us sight. Now, you may have physical sight, but if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're blind. You have no spiritual sight, and I pray that you come and trust in Him today. And the joy is that they followed Him. Now, we got a couple of verses of Scripture here back in John. John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus spake again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What did I just say? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're blind. You're walking in darkness. Now, verse 32 of that same chapter. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Wonderful to be set truly free. Verse 36 of that same chapter, John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Wonderful to set men free from darkness and from death. That's what Jesus does. And you need to come by faith to Him and trust in Him. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the old devil, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Please, please open your eyes. Back to Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed Him. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful study. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, He came into the Mount of Olives, the Scripture tells us. One man called at the last mile, the march to Calvary's cross. As they entered into Jerusalem, they cried, Hosanna, the Son of David. But as we mentioned earlier, very soon they cried, Crucify Him, crucify Him. As Jesus departed from Jericho and entered into Jerusalem, there was truly only one thing that was on His mind, and that was the cross at Calvary. I want to take a minute here as we come to this very important, most important section. And let's look at the four Gospels. Matthew, where we've been studying, is a gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was and is king. Royalty, King of kings, Lord of lords, the only begotten Son of God. And He will reign over the entire world. That's Matthew, the kingdom. Jesus will be the king. Now, He's going to return. Right now, we're in the church age. And then the church is going to be raptured. It's going to be taken out. We're not going to have to face this tribulation time. And that time period is 7 years. Scripture is very clear. And as we have mentioned in the past, as you enter into the tribulation period, there's not going to be one born again. There's not going to be one saved person on this earth, because every born-again believer will be raptured, will be taken. The trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall then be caught up, all receiving our glorified bodies. That takes place at the close of the church age, the opening doors, opening days of the tribulation period. Tribulation period lasts 7 years. First 3.5 won't seem to be too bad. Last 3.5 will literally be hell on earth. At the end of that, it's called the Battle of Armageddon, and that battle will gain power and strength, and then Jesus, King Jesus, will come. We will be with him. All believers will be with him, and he will speak. It speaks of a sword in his mouth. And that sword is the word of God. He will speak and destroy all enemies. And so, as was at the beginning of the tribulation period, and there's no saved, now at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, there'll be no lost to begin with. And so for 1,000 years, they'll repopulate the earth. As the earth is repopulated, we're going to find that folks have to be saved. Jesus will be here and rule and reign with a rod of iron. And yet we find at the end of this 1,000-year reign, Satan's going to be bound during that whole time. But at the very end, he's going to be loose for a season. And he's going to be out there searching everybody that decided not to accept Jesus. Jesus is going to be right here, ruling and reigning, and yet there's going to be a multitude that do not trust in him and will find themselves in the fires of hell. But there's going to be 1,000 years that the King of Kings is going to rule. What a joy. What a time. So we have Matthew. So let's look at Mark. Mark was directed by the Holy Spirit to set Jesus as a servant, humble, obedient, serving one purpose, with one purpose in mind, and that's to do his Father's will. Luke, he was sent here to see the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man, the last Adam, the man who took on himself the sin of the world and carried that sin all the way to the cross, died there to save us. So he took on the body of a man. Luke portrays that clearly by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And John sets Jesus as the Son of God, tabernacled with man. So we have the servant, Son of Man, Son of God, and King of Kings. Each one looks at that character that Jesus brings out. Now here we're in Matthew. So we are presenting him, King of Kings. Draw nigh unto Jerusalem. Jerusalem from Jericho is, and we find that it was back in the 29th verse here, they departed from Jericho. And it's about, 17, 18, 19 miles, something like that. Mostly desert. But there's some rocks and caves along that way, and it is a very, very good place, for robbers and thieves. And today, it's even known as one of the most dangerous roads in the area. This village, Bethphage, is a village that lays between Jerusalem and Bethany, very near to Mount of Olives. And we find we're just east of Jerusalem, separated by the Brook of Kindron, many olive trees along the way. And it's been said that it's very possible, with the age of these olive trees, that the same trees could be there today as was there when Jesus walked by. And we find the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that Jesus spent much time in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus sent two of his disciples, the scripture tells us. Mount Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." Bring them unto me. Jesus knew exactly where they were located, and he knew that the owner would let them come, let them be used by the King of Kings. It wasn't a horse. In the scripture, the donkeys, the mules, they are beasts of burden. And Jesus is coming to take on our burden, lift it from us, and give us victory. If he would have had his disciples go and find a horse, it would not have stood for the same. A horse always represents war. If you have a horse and then the horses, why then you have you're able to do battle and fight the war. So riding on an ass was an emblem of peace. And riding on a horse would have indicated war. Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33. We're not going to go back there, but you sure can. I'd love for you to. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33, Solomon was inaugurated as king, and he rode his father's mule. We need to see. We need to understand. "And if any man say aught to you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And as we look at this, we find that back in Zechariah 9:9, we'll find it here as we look through the scripture. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice, O great daughter Zion, Behold, the King cometh unto thee. We're going to read that again next time. We always run out of time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?